how many different alternatives is North Carolina Department of Transportation considering for this Havelock bypass?
The alternatives have gone through sort of a screening process. There's quite a range of alternatives in the early scoping of the project. And since that time, we're down to alternate three as the one selected alternative.
And could you tell us about this preferred alternative?
Brian, you might be better to describe the location and everything.
Yeah. The alternative is roughly 10.5 miles long, end to end. It's kind of strange. US 70 is signed east-west, but it sort of takes a north-south turn there in Havelock to where the roadway is running almost north and south there. So directionally, this thing is actually going to the west of Havelock, and it's going into a portion of the Croatan Forest on new location. On the north end, it's departing just a little bit south of Carolina Pines. And I think that the closest good landmark for you, it's tying in just south of McOtter Boulevard.
Now, there was a public meeting held on Monday. Can you tell me how many people attended that?
I would estimate in the range of 150.
What was the response like? And did you get a lot of feedback?
We got a lot of feedback. To be honest, we had a lot of questions about impacts to personal property. However, the striking thing, normally at those things, you will have at least a segment of people that don't like the project at all. And I think in general, I was not hearing much negative about the project itself. It seems like the public at large is tired of the traffic problems there in Havelock, and they're ready to see this come.
If I can only add to that, I did hear there was some frustration from some of the property owners about how long this process has taken. So we certainly heard that loud and clear. Some of the members of the public out there just wanted us to get this project wrapped up.
How many homes and businesses would be impacted by this bypass?
Right. We're estimating at 18 total.
That includes the businesses and one nonprofit as well. So there's only one business and one nonprofit, but 16 residences.
How are you going to assist those residents with either relocation or reimbursement for using their property?
There'll be a process for an appraiser to work with those property owners, review the project plans with them, showing how much property would be involved that DOT would need to acquire for this bypass. We would try to make sure we understand their interest in the property and what value they have in it from their perspective. DOT would develop an offer for those properties. If a home actually has to be relocated, if the house is actually in the path of the bypass, there are also relocation assistance services that are offered to assist those property owners in finding a new place to live.
Is there a better route that would have less of an impact on residents?
Of the three that we narrowed it down to, there was one alternate that had two less residential relocations. However, that one went a bit further into the Croatan National Forest, and there were concerns about how much of the wildlife habitat was being fragmented since that stretched so far into the Croatan National Forest. The alternate three that we did select does have two additional relocations, but balancing the impacts to the human environment and then balancing that versus the impacts to the natural environment. We had one more that was under study that was closer into town, so would have reduced the habitat impacts. But relocating of residences on that one was more than 100 relocations. So I believe 133 homes would have to be relocated with that one.
And if people missed the meeting on Monday night, can they still get their comments in?
The comment period will be open the remainder of September. We've got a 30-day comment period for that. So we're certainly welcoming any feedback from the public on the project and specifically looking for any tweaks to the design that they would have seen Monday night.
If you already have a preferred alternative, are comments from residents really going to be taken into consideration as you move forward with development?
That's a good question. We've got what we call a preliminary design right now. We have selected the corridor of those three large concept corridors. So now it's a question of trying to get that one design down to where it works best for everybody before we start that right-of-way purchase process. You know, once we get to the part of actually buying land for the project, that's going to be some very detailed plans. So this is sort of the opportunity for the public to get their comments in before those final plans are developed.
I was wondering if you could give me a timeline of the project from where we are now with the public comment period being open all the way through completion. When do you see that happening?
Okay, the next steps, we do need to finalize that public comment period. We'll have an engineering meeting of the engineers involved with this project to go over all the comments that we've received. After that, we'll decide what we can incorporate and what we can't. We have environmental documents that have to be completed. The final environmental impact statement, we're hoping to get completed this month in September. And then there's a final environmental document called a record of decision. If Federal Highway Administration is ready to approve that, would be early in 2016. Within a couple months of that, we can start acquiring the right-of-way for that. We expect that to take about 2 years, so construction would be in would follow that in 2018.
We're speaking with Eastern Region Project Development Section Head Robert Hansen and Project Engineer Brian Yamamoto. Thank you.
Hey, welcome. Thank you, Jared.